They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. I got a bunch to get to. We will get to those over the next few segments. Also, still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's about an hour from now, our returning champion, as I call him. So stay tuned for that. But joining us now is colleague in the Alabama Senate. Always a pleasure to bring on State Senator Will Barfoot from Pike Road. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. Thanks for making time. I always come and talk to our audience down here. It was quite a session in this year, and I know everybody kind of walked away just glad to get out of town, but have the wounds almost healed yet?
You know, I guess that old saying of time heals everything is probably true. I don't know if enough time has passed to say healed, but I think there's the scab that's developed and it's in the process of healing. We work well, generally speaking, Republicans and Democrats in House and the Senate, and I expect that we'll be working together to benefit the folks in the state of Alabama, around the state, when we get in session next year.
Yeah, but there's always, I guess, a little bit of hard feelings coming out of a session, but then it's always like a miracle. Everybody's eager to get back once that time of year rolls around.
That's true. You know, Jeff, I'm an attorney, and people would see in the courtroom, maybe me and the lawyer on the other side, or it's not just me, but it happens in the courtroom all the time where folks are, you think they're about to rip their head off, each other's head off, and fighting, and after the case is done with, they're drinking a cup of coffee together and talking about their family. So it's folks are passionate depending on the issues and depending on the side of the aisle and which house you're in. You're passionate about issues and you argue and you fuss and you fight, but in the end, I think there's a realization that you're trying to do what's best for the folks in your district and ultimately the state of Alabama. So,
yeah, I think you're right about that. Well, the reason I wanted to get you on here, I think, you look at there's a crime problem, clearly one in Montgomery where you're at, your district is. But this incident Saturday night in Birmingham in the Five Point South neighborhood, I think it's – I don't know that the problem's necessarily Montgomery or this, but I think it's all gang-related. It's not Glock switches. I mean, maybe that has a little bit to do with it or even – I don't think it's permitless carry at all. But yeah. You've kind of led the way on this effort to prosecute this – we call it organized crime. I guess you're not allowed to call it – gang or whatever, but is it just a matter of time that the we'll see the impact of this new law? Because to be honest, Senator, it looks like things have kind of escalated in the last few months.
I think first of all, I think there's a realization that there's not enough ink and or paper to change the hearts of people. So to say that we can pass a law that's going to make everything better is just not the case. I remember back when I was a much younger man and my daddy was about 6'2", 6'3". I thought he was Andre the Giant, but he used to tell me in my teenage years, he said, son, I may not be able to stop you from doing certain things, but I can make you damn well wish you wouldn't have done it. And I think that's the purpose of some of this legislation. And I think certainly from the federal level, as it pertains to Glock switches, there's already a ban on those. I think, if we were to take that legislation up and pass that gives the district attorneys around the state the tools to prosecute them in state court. As far as the organized crime or gang bill that we passed, I do think that'll have some positive impact. I think that you'll start to see some folks who are sentenced under that, and those are some real teeth into it. And I think word does spread, right? And I think those consequences that others have under whatever laws we pass, at some point in time, it'll start people will start realizing, wait a minute, they're not playing around with this, and there's minimums that I could get in prison, and no longer will I be able to just go in there and plea and wave my hand and say, see you next time. I think there's some benefits to that, and I think you'll start to see the fruits of our labor as some of those crimes are prosecuted and some of those sentences are handed out under that gang legislation.
Well, tell me this. Do you think, politics plays a part of everything, and I know this was you had to work at it to get this law passed. Do you think these prosecutors, do you find the reaction from them to be like a willingness to apply the statute if applicable?
In regards to the gang legislation bill,
yes, sir.
I do. I mean, you know, certainly haven't met with all the DAs around the states, but I think that they were eager to have a tool that they could use that when the situations fit, when it's gang related and they can connect that violence to, that an entity or outfit or a group of individuals who had a common goal of causing harm on society, that they were excited that we passed that and anticipate a wide use of that. It's another tool in the toolbox that they could use. And it's not, certainly not applicable everywhere. And by the way, I grew up in the 80s and I'm a good bit older, I think, than you, Jeff, but the 80s, it was the Bloods and the Crips. And I think what you see a lot of time, at least in Montgomery, and I suspect Montgomery may not be different than Birmingham, is, not as organized a group as what we might have seen or heard of about in the 80s, but it's rather, this community over here versus another community, this section of town versus another section of town. But I think that that's a law that the DA's office will be able to use around the state, and that there are certainly some adverse consequences. As I said, my daddy used to say, damn sure make them wish that they hadn't have done that. So,
and I you look at it now, and I know hindsight's always 20/20, but I mean, is there anything you felt like that was left on the table with that statute that, I mean, that could be another tool for prosecutors and law enforcement?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see as those cases start to develop. Obviously, takes a while once the implementation of that, and then charges being brought up and trials and sentencing. And we'll get some feedback, I'm sure, from the DAs around the state as to where some tweaks should be, might need to be. And just like any legislation, you do your best job to craft what should be a perfect piece of legislation. Never is, and there's some tweaks along the way, so we'll certainly be listening to that. I did want to say something, though, Jeff,
sure.
About the violence that's been covered, terrible violence in Birmingham. Certainly there's been some in Montgomery and other parts of the state as well. But, this whole political narrative that the concealed carry permit has anything, or the lack of a requirement for a concealed carry permit, has something to do with this violence, just total nonsense. It really is. I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners know this, that Alabama is, and at least as far back as the research that I've been able to gather, has always been an open carry state. In other words, you could walk down the streets of any town carrying a rifle, a shotgun, or a pistol out in the open as long as it wasn't concealed, and that was not against the law. As a matter of fact, the concealed carry permit requirement that was in place for years only applied to pistols, didn't even apply to shotguns or rifles. So, I think we have a better system in place as it relates to concealed carry, or those who possess a firearm of some type, and that is the prohibited persons database, that if you've been previously convicted of a felony or certain other crimes, that your name will appear on that database, And by the way, that's nothing new. It is a database that a law enforcement officer in the northern part of the state could check somebody from the southern part of the state or anywhere else. And certainly means more than just a flimsy piece of paper, a piece of plastic that someone who had a concealed carry permit could show an officer on a back road at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I think we've got a much better system, and all of these folks who are trying to attribute or in some way connect a lack of a concealed carry permit to this wave of violence and crime that we've experienced and seen in the urban areas of Alabama is just fake news.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here, because this is what the sheriffs will tell you is like, you took a tool out of our tool case here, and we pull somebody over at 2 a.m. and they got a handgun that's concealed. Well, then we can hold them. We can take action. And now without this permitless carry, with this permitless carry law, that's no longer on the table. Now, like I'm not making the case for them, but what's your response to that?
Well, if they pull somebody over and they're otherwise prohibited, in other words, previously convicted of a felony or had a mental health commitment or a certain DV cases, even misdemeanor sense, then they're prohibited. There's a database that they can look at and say, hey, you can't have this. The concealed carry permit was really a faulty system. And by the way, to say that pulling somebody over prevented a crime, as extremely hard to prove, number one. Number two, and there's data out there that shows that, at least where I'm from, the penalty phase of that was not a deterrent. And so I just think it's a faulty method. I think it was a faulty method before. To the extent that when law enforcement pulls you over, there's provisions in the current law that allows them to look at, hold, and secure for a short period of time that firearm so they can make sure they're safe and the occupants of the vehicle are safe. I think it's fake news, and I think it's been perpetrated for a particular purpose. And by the way, it's really not only just fake news that the concealed carry permit or lack of a concealed carry permit is the nexus between all this violence out there. It's really not only disingenuous, it does harm to those victims who have suffered that, because now they've been given false information by those folks.
Joined by State Senator Will Barfoot here on the program. Senator, moving kind of just beyond this, now I know your Montgomery colleague, Reed Ingram, state representative there, you would want like an accountability act or something to that degree for police departments. And I think you were kind of on board with it, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of your colleagues not really sounding like they're really like that idea as much. But what do you see, if anything, from this point forward, a state response to these situations in Montgomery and Birmingham?
Well, first of all, I do support that bill. I filed it in the Senate. Representative Ingram has it in the House, and appreciative of all his work that he did in getting that bill drafted. There are certain colleagues who have a fear of that. Hey, you may have a problem in your area, but we don't want the governor or the attorney general to appoint somebody to come into our local police department. I can understand the reservations that they may have, but certainly I think in certain situations it's needed. I think we've got a new interim chief that seems to be, in all indication, in Montgomery is doing a good job. We'll see how that legislation progresses as we go forward. I think it is a wake up call to those agencies and those municipalities that are not providing enough resources for law enforcement. And by the way, I think the big issue, at least in Montgomery and Birmingham as well, is, you're about half staff or certainly less than what you need to be. You can't interact with as many people, and therefore you can't put your eyes on the bad guys. And so it is a staffing question. No doubt that is a huge piece of that puzzle. And then once you have the men and women that have agreed to, you know, be a part of that law enforcement community, and you've got your numbers up where you need them to be, you got to make sure you have the leadership, proper leadership for that department, to make sure that they're, you know, that they have the officers back, that they are not just throwing them out there. The rules, they'll go to bat for them. And that's from the chief, the sheriff, and from the elected leaders around there, be it the mayor or whoever else.
Well, what do you think it is? Like, why are these municipalities, and it's not just Birmingham and Montgomery, I mean, there's a ton of them, struggling to staff their police departments? And I hear, well, they've gone woke or whatever, but I'm not exactly sure what that means. What do you think it is?
Well, I'll give you my best guess, and I think it's a pretty educated guess. So I've never been in law enforcement. Daddy retired policeman here in Montgomery. I had an uncle that was a policeman and two uncles that were troopers. And so it's not unusual that, or it's not anything that's new that, you know, when you agree to sign on and go into law enforcement, you realize, you know, you may wind up making the ultimate sacrifice. That's true today. It's certainly true even 100 years ago and before then. But what has changed, I think, is, you know, law enforcement officers around the state and even around the country for sure have been villainized by the media. You see it all the time on social media. You've got, you know, police officers interacting, stopping somebody, questioning them, maybe responded to a crime scene. And you've got, you know, 100 people around, you know, with video cameras and cussing at officers. And who wants to put up with that? You know, not only could you lose your life, not only are you harassed and intimidated by sometimes the citizens around there, villainized by the media, and then, you know, the fear of being prosecuted for doing your job. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And unfortunately, that's where we are in the nation now. And until those things change, I don't think you'll see the folks that protect us on a daily basis. You won't be turning away people from law enforcement until those things change.
Senator, got to leave it there, but you're very, very, very generous with your time, and thanks for making time for us this morning.
Hey, always enjoy it, Jeff. Appreciate you. Be safe.
All right. State Senator Will Barfoot there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.